is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. This is Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared to you today that we have titled True Fasting as we look at Isaiah chapter 58. For those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones, and we'll open up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to learn a spiritual discipline, fasting. Lord, something many Christians don't do, it like the Bible times did all the time. And so, Lord, teach us your word. Thank you for the book of Isaiah and how we learn so much from you. We thank you for Vic and all the people tuned in. We pray your blessing upon us all in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Nate, thank you for the wonderful prayer. I threw two there at the same time, an invitation and a prayer.
Yes, yes, you did.
Nate, what a fun time we have been making our way through the book of Isaiah, and here we are in chapter 58 already, and that gives me hope, Nate, that we might actually finish it. Who knows, maybe even before the year ends.
That's always been the goal, get 66 books, though. That's a lot of books in the book of Isaiah, but the thought that we're up to 58, which means this is probably our 58th podcast in this series, and that you all have been tuning in. We just so appreciate you, and we hope this has been a blessing to you. And if you want to know and follow some of our other podcasting that we've been doing through The Truth Will Set You Free, I mean, it goes back 15 years on. There's so many different books of the Bible. And Vic and I also took the podcast through Revelation and released a book called The Mighty Angels of Revelation. Vic has got the seven letters, right, Vic, to the seven churches. His book, he can tell you a little about that. And so if you want to dive deeper into what we're talking about, just go to christinprophecy.org and click store there, and you can find all the different books. You can also go to media and then podcasts, and then there's a whole archive of this as well. Of course, you can find us on Spotify, pray.com, and other audio platforms. Again, just check us out, christinprophecy.org.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate. Yeah, Nathan, it's just fun to be able to put some resources out there for individuals, whether it's books or podcasts. It's just that I find that the Bible is just endless in terms of the knowledge that it puts forth, and not enough people have access to that. So the more that we're able to put some content there for good materials, I think it'll be such a blessing for people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we do these folks as Vic and I travel through the Bible and we learn and grow in our relationship with the Lord. We hope to take you along with us and grow as well. You know, our whole ministry, we're a part of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry whose mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. And you know, Vic, I just speaking about new, we just learned this week that Jack Hibbs Real Life Network has accepted our TV show Christ in Prophecy on it. And so we'll start airing Christ in Prophecy TV on Real Life Network next month. So we hope that you all can tune in.
That is fantastic. Jack Hibbs is such an amazing pastor, part of Calvary Chapel, just a blessing in their ministry and just their stand for righteousness. So that's a great news, Nate.
Yeah, they're very stringent on their vetting. And so they want to make sure that the TV shows on their network are doctrinally sound. And through the vetting process, we've been approved by Jack Hibbs. So praise the Lord. We're looking forward to getting on Real Life Networks.
That is so exciting. So thanks, Nate, for sharing those amazing resources. And Nate, speaking of resources, I know June is around the corner and the annual LNL conference is coming up.
Yes, every year in June, our ministry holds our annual Bible Prophecy Conference. This year, we're hosting it on here actually in McKinney, which is pretty close to where the ministry is located. And folks, if you want to come on June 12th and 13th here in McKinney, Texas, we are hosting our Bible Prophecy Conference. The theme is, where is the promise of his coming? We're going to take God at his word in these last days. Our director, Tim Moore, and myself will be speaking. We've got Pete Garcia from Revelation 3:10, and also a representative from the Institute of Creation Research, Dr. Jake Hebert, will be there as well, talking about life before the flood. We have wonderful music by Amber Pears. And so we're going to be presenting. And if you want to find out more about this, go to our website, christandprophecy.org, click events. And if you can't make it, of course, we're going to be streaming this on our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel again on June 12th and 13th. So we hope you can join us.
That is fantastic. Thanks, Nate, for sharing the awesome resource. And we hope that you take advantage of those. Another wonderful resource is the Book of Isaiah. What an amazing book. Nathan and I have been learning so much, making our way through this book, and just an eye-opener in so many ways. And chapter 58 is another fantastic chapter. Again, as we title our message, A True Fast. Nathan, speaking of fasting, well, fasting is not really a much of a popular topic when it comes to Christians. Now, potlucks and pot bless are, right?
Yeah, Christians really do know how to eat, but fasting, that's something totally different. You know, back when I was at Southern Seminary back in 2005, we had this new pastor join, and I took his class. His name's Dr. Don Whitney, and he wrote a book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. It went on to be quite a very popular book, over 600,000 copies sold. So I was really blessed to have this professor who wrote this book. And that's what he primarily teaches at the seminary level, as how to be better at absorbing scripture, prayer, worship, evangelism, serving, how to have silence and solitude. That's something Christians don't have a lot. Journaling, but also fasting. And brother, of course, part of the fasting module of it was we had to fast. And folks think, well, you know, like Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, all he did is drink water. Well, that's one way, but usually a lot of fasting is you take something out of your diet. But he wanted us for, I think it was 2 days, not to eat anything, just drink water. And I got to tell you, Vic, man, that was two of the hardest days of my life. For some reason, all I wanted was apple butter. I'm not a big apple butter guy, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I got to get some toast with apple butter on it.
Oh, that is so, Nathan, and you know, that's how the body works. All of a sudden, you start to crave things that weren't a big deal before, but it's amazing the benefits of fasting. And I think as we look at the book of Isaiah, as we look at scripture, there's some great benefits to fasting. And of course, we know fasting is not easy because it's spiritual. So when you choose to do I always say, Nathan, the difference between fasting and a diet is the one is spiritual, the other one is not, because you can stop eating for a day or two, but when you say you're going to fast, you really start to feel the effects because of the spiritual dynamic.
Yeah, and one of the things that Dr. Whitney taught us about fasting, and you're right, it's not a diet thing, and it shouldn't be a time where you're thinking all about food. It should also be a time where you increase your Bible study, increase your prayer, increase your solitude. You're supposed to use that time to dedicate to concentrating on the Lord. At the time, I was a seminary student with a full-time ministry job, and so I didn't have a lot of time to put into that aspect, and I think that's why the first time I fasted was such a struggle. But later times when I fasted, now I'm not the fasting superhero like you are, Vic, but in the times I have done it, if you really, you concentrate on your Bible reading and prayer in solitude, and I think it helps you really get through it more and focus, and that's a purpose, right? To focus on Jesus Christ, to take everything out of your life, all the distractions. Maybe you're fasting from media, and that's something we certainly need to do today, but it's taking something out of your life and using that time or energy and putting it towards the Lord.
Oh, Nathan. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. But I'm definitely not a fasting superhero, though. I just fast because I need to.
Well, you're good at it, man. You do it a lot, and I admire you for it.
And like you mentioned, well, it's the Lord. The Lord strengthens us. And when we go to him in times of need, the Holy Spirit empowers us. The late Bill Bright, that he passed away a number of years ago with Campus Crusade for Christ, Nate, like you mentioned about the discipline, he considered fasting and prayer the most powerful of all Christian disciplines. And his teachings emphasize that abstaining from food is a physical demonstration of humility, repentance, and total reliance on the Holy Spirit to bring spiritual revival. In Campus Crusade for Christ, Nate, we notice how God did that. But I think, Nathan, you would agree that God can start a spiritual revival with anyone that's willing to go before the Lord in humility, right, Nate? And spend some time in fasting and prayer and seeking God.
Yeah, I mean, even Jesus himself did. He didn't need to, but he dedicated those 40 days. When you think about it, so from what I've read, you can't live more than 3 days without drinking. You will die. And so we're not talking about Jesus when he was in the wilderness, didn't drink anything either. He would have been dead. But 40 days is the limit for not having any food, which means that when we read about the temptation of Satan or how Satan tried to tempt Jesus, that Jesus was next to death. So it really changes the perspective when I read that, those passages that, yeah, Jesus wasn't just, and I mean, certainly he's the powerful, mighty God, but he was still in human form, and in his human form, it's got its weaknesses. And so he was, you know, very, very close to death, and he was at his weakest, and therefore God allowed his son to get that weak and then allow Satan to tempt him as the ultimate test. I mean, when you're next to death, when he says, hey, turn these stones to bread, that becomes very, very tempting. But it showed that Jesus was completely dedicated to being absolutely whole and pure. He didn't have the sin nature, and because he was born of a virgin, and he was dedicated to serving the Father and doing exactly what he had said. He passed that test, and it's just, it sets the example for the rest of us.
Nathan, I think that's fantastic, and we'll definitely look at the biblical reference for that, because we also noticed throughout the Bible there was Moses who also fasted, and these are supernatural fasts, right, Nathan? It's not like we want to say to people, hey, go out there and try to fast for 40 days.
No, we have a guy on staff here at Lamb and Lion, Leo, and he fasts every year. Not that he's Catholic, but he'll fast for Lent. But he doesn't fast just to food. He takes something out of his life that can be a distraction and replaces it with Bible reading. And so he really impressed me this year. For 2 months, he had given up television completely. And he said he really was dedicated to studying the Bible and the Word. And there's almost a glow to him. It was so amazing. And so it was very impressive, his ability to fast.
Wow, what a great testimony. Thanks for sharing that, Nate. And of course, for those of you that are part of the program, we want to encourage you and invite you to jump in with us to Isaiah chapter 58 as we look at verses 1 through 8, as we talk about what is a true fast, what is involved, and what does it look like biblically. Nate, would you be able to open us up by reading chapter 58, verses 1 through 4, and then I'll pick it up from 5 through 8 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Yeah, people are probably wondering, hey, isn't this an episode about Isaiah? It's about time we get to it. All right. Verses 1 through 4. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions, meaning sin, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls that you, capital U, take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast or strife and debate and to strike with the fists of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high.
Verse 5, it is a fast, is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go forth before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Nathan, wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real, it kind of sets you up like, hey, you know, you're your fasting is just, and God notices it, and then he quickly turns and says, wait a minute, but this is how you guys are doing it, Instead of fasting for justice and righteousness and doing good works, some of you are fasting for strife and debate. You're even the verse four there, you strike with fists of wickedness. I mean, they're even fighting, and so in other words, they're fasting. And this is something, the problem that the Jewish people, the Israelites, went through all throughout the Old Testament, is that God would give them an ordinance to teach them spiritual value and a relationship with the Lord and to do good, and instead they turn it into a work. They trudge through it, they give it lip service, and then they commit all sorts of evil on it. And it's no different from the church today. We do that too, unfortunately. But there's quite a comparison here. Vic, what did you think about the aspects here? It wasn't just fasting from food, but during that fast, it seems like the Lord is saying, hey, you need to dedicate yourself to helping the needy. That's an aspect you don't hear about when we talk about fasting these days.
Nate, that is a very good point and a very good focus because, when you want to do things for the Lord and the Lord leads you to do it from your heart, he'll point out certain things, which is where's the homeless or the needy or the people. And I think going into prayer and fasting, asking God for guidance for those things and how to get involved in the community and how to really lend a hand. It's not just spiritual, but here it also involves a physical need. Like the book of James, right, Nathan, that it speaks about our faith. Faith without works is dead, but at the same time, we do works to show our faith, our relationship, not to earn salvation, but as proof of our salvation. And here, fasting is the same thing. It's almost like, hey, you're believers, you're fasting, you're doing this for a reason. Well, also, let's see some of the practical needs that are around you.
And I think verse 6 is absolutely the key here. It says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Okay, so here's the purpose of fasting: to loose the bonds of wickedness, in other words, turning away from evil, to undo the heavy burdens. I mean, how many of us think that fasting is actually burdensome? But he says, no, it's the opposite. It's to remove the burdens, it's to let the oppressed go free. And I think that also means the spiritually oppressed, the burdens we carry daily. Fasting is supposed to release us from that and break every yoke. In other words, it's supposed to break the bonds of this life and the fallen life that it is and connect us with God and in service of Him to other people. It's really a beautiful thing, and it's something about fasting that we're not really taught. I mean, the general idea is don't eat for a few days. That's not what it's about.
No, and I think, Nathan, that this is such a good point that this is making here because oftentimes, again, people are so mistaken in terms of what they think the fasting is or what they think it is as opposed to what the scriptures say.
It's interesting passage, and it's really, when it comes to fasting, it should be taught more often that it's just so much more than just don't eat. Because that's kind of how growing up I would approach the pastor would talk about fasting, and I'd roll my eyes and I'd be like, oh, that means giving up good food like barbecue. We love our barbecue here in Texas, but it's about the hunger is an earthly thing. We need it. We got to eat, but it's a base thing. God's always challenging us to do so much more, to look for the bigger prize, and that's the spiritual relationship with the Lord. And so I love it here. Fasting isn't just the lack of eating, but it's the freeing from this earthly needs all the time, and a focus on God and focus on Him by serving others. A wonderful aspect here. There's a lot to learn from this passage.
Nathan, not only that, but also I'm glad that you highlighted verse 6 and on because there are certain things there. We see that we also see the spiritual dynamic of this discipline and the benefit because it says to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And then, of course, it says it is not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out when you see the naked covered. But Nathan, another thing that is talking about there, setting the captives free. And it reminds me of the story in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20, about the boy that Jesus healed. And the disciples were sort of baffled. How did he do this? And it was a supernatural healing. And I'm going to just go to Matthew 17, verses 14 through 20, and read this, because there's something highlighted here, Nathan, that I think is very powerful. And are you able to get there, Nate, to Matthew 17, excuse me?
Already there.
So would you be able to read verses 14 through 17, Nathan, and I'll do 18 through 20 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Sure. And you might even want to do 21, because it sounds like by the looks there, that's how what closes the passage.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. 14 to 17. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling to him, Jesus, and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me."
And then we notice, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for surely I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here and there,' and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you." But notice verse 21, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Nathan, now that verse 21 is powerful, and I have to say that sadly enough, that's not included in the new international version of the Bible. Some versions of the Bible have actually omitted that verse, and I'm not sure why, because it's such a powerful verse. But it says, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And Nate, that is one verse that really speaks of the power that fasting can have, spiritual fasting, over the demonic realm.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because we think a lot of the mental issues today, epilepsy, autism, and other things, as being purely physical. But in this case, there was also demonic activity going on. And it's interesting that even though the Lord had equipped the apostles to be able to cast out demons, there's some demons, there's a hierarchy, and so some are just more powerful than others. And the more powerful ones, you got to go to God in prayer, even fasting, and focus. And obviously, we don't have the strength or authority to cast out demons, and nobody should without being very sure that your prayer, fasting, it's all God. And so, you know, we saw what's at the seven sons of Sceva went and tried to cast out demons, and the demon came out and beat them all up, ripped all their clothes off, and sent them away naked. And so this is, you got to put this in God's hands. And I think, like you said, verse 21, that's interesting what you said about 21. I didn't know that that wasn't in the certain passages, but I guess it depends on what translation the original source documents they were pulling from. But again, it says that if you really want to see the full power of God, if you want to move mountains, so to speak, you can't do it on your own power. You got to turn to God in prayer and fasting.
Oh, Nate, and I know some, again, maybe this is new. Maybe you just tuned into the program, or maybe you've never practiced fasting. Maybe something that you really never considered, maybe never even thought about it, but it is a Christian discipline. And now we're not saying go out there and fast for 40 days. But right, Nathan, but Nate, practically, people can take baby steps. You made some very good points. Practically, some things that people can start fasting. And I think God knows the heart, right, Nathan? He doesn't necessarily look at the outer appearance, but it's the intent of how people want to draw closer to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good point.
And of course, we look at the next portion, going back to Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 58, Nathan, and it's just an encouraging passage, because again, there are some things here that God wants to do, and prayer and fasting will be that channel. Verses 19 through 4, 9 through 14 of Isaiah. Nate, would you be able to read us on 9 through 12, and I'll read 13 and 14?
All right, picking up verse 9. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste place. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
And verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord's honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What a great blessing, right, Nate?
Yeah, and I love this part where it brings up about the Sabbath, because that's another practice that's kind of fallen to the wayside in Christianity. We kind of assume, well, that's a Jewish thing, and it was. It's not a requirement for the church to have a Sabbath day. Although that was another thing that Dr. Whitney taught us, the importance of taking the Lord's Day. And it doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be Saturday. It could be any day, but that you take one day and dedicate it to the Lord. You know, put all the things, again, this is what the purpose of fasting. You're really not fasting from food. You're fasting from earthly life and focusing on the heavenly. And that's what the Lord's saying to his people. Says, hey, you'll be greatly blessed if you do this. And now, you know, Isaiah 700 BC about, and we know that the Jewish people were exiled for 7 years. Why? Because they never kept the 50th sabbatical year. And so they had neglected the Sabbath. And so the Lord gave them 70 years to make up for the 70 they didn't take. So this makes a good point here that the Lord takes the Sabbath very seriously.
Nathan, I love that. And I think that that is a very good point, because here what God says is for us not to try to do our own thing, but the thing that has been prescribed by God as he knows best to help us in our spiritual walk and strengthen us. And often in verse 13, we see there a number of times where it says, nor finding your own way, nor speaking your own words. And I think that that's what it is, Nathan. Somehow we try to help God out in what we think is best.
That's true. You know, we always think we know better. What is it about humans? You know, he's a God of the universe. He created everything, but somehow we know better. You know what a beauty of this chapter, Vic, is we've been going through Isaiah, that the Lord has a lot to say about his people. I mean, they are falling into wicked times. They're chasing after the other gods. There's a lot of chapters about idolatry, and there's a lot of chapters about how the Lord will restore a remnant to salvation one day. But this chapter, chapter 58, kind of takes a pause from everything and just focuses on a personal spiritual discipline for the Jewish people. Very practical. You know, I always hear atheists say, oh, the Bible's not practical. Well, of course, they don't care about spirituality, but this is a very practical chapter that gives us the background of fasting, the benefits of fasting, the purpose of fasting, and what happens when you don't fast. It's an extremely practical chapter.
Absolutely, Nathan. And this, again, this is a chapter that I think can help encourage anyone that if they have not if they have not had that discipline in their lives, hey, we want to encourage you. Why not start today? And of course, we find, Nathan, that the most important discipline in order to have the power to be able to have this discipline is we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that starts with a relationship with Jesus. And we believe that's more important than anything else. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, we want to give you that first step, that opportunity for you to come to him so that he can then empower you to be able to live out the Christian life and to be able to fast in the way that the scriptures showed us here. And Nate, again, what would be a good guidance for someone who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord and how they may be able to start that even today?
Well, sin separates you. And that's why that we don't see God the Father. That's why Jesus, the Son of God, only came. He will come again. But that's why those who aren't saved don't have the Holy Spirit in them. Their sin is a barrier between God and eternal life. And so you have to repent of your sins, turn to Jesus in faith, accept that he's the Son of God, so that he forgives your sins. He takes away his wrath. John 3:36 teaches us that God's wrath will no longer abide on you if you turn in faith to the Lord. So, when you're ready to make that decision, and you could die any day, so now is better than later, turn to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've rebelled against you. And please forgive me. I love you, Lord, and I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. And Jesus promised he will forgive your sins, he will wash away that guilt, and he will give you eternal life with him. Show people that you've accepted Jesus by being baptized, and find a good Christian church to help you grow in your relationship with him.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful way, Nate. What a great segment to close our program. And if you have accepted the Lord and prayed in your heart to receive him, reach out to us, 305-992-9537. Call or text or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. We will love to rejoice with you. Again, thank you for being part of this program. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful week.